Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Audio Road. Welcome to the pit, the politics in trucking. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be throwing out the issue of the day and then taking your calls and refereeing the discussion for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us, screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that takes the political topics of importance and relates them to the trucking industry. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. Once again, welcome to the pit, and here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember, to talk to Kevin, press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your call. You know you'd rather talk to me anyways. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Welcome to the pit. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. Lisa's here screening your calls. If you want to join in, jump in. If you've got a question, a comment, a topic, whatever it might be, press 1 on your phone. Lisa will screen your call, and we'll get to those calls shortly. That is if you're listening on your phone. If you're listening online and you want to join us, the number to call on your phone is 347-884-8327. Tonight is the Pit Politics in Trucking. I'm going to do something a little different tonight, though. I see we've got a couple hands up already, and that's good because the last couple weeks we haven't had a lot of interaction, and I'd like to get more interaction from you. I don't want the show just to be me going on for an entire hour about what I want to talk about. So rather than have just one topic tonight, I'm going to open with just some news and some things I saw going on today and this week in politics. And we'll throw it out, open it up to whatever you want to talk about politically, government-wise, things like that. It's pretty wide open, but what we're not going to do on this show is anything technical related to trucking. But if you want to talk about issues in trucking, we can certainly do that. And anything's open, EOBRs, you know, cross-border trucking, hours of service, whatever it might be. Plus, I'm going to throw out some topics we can talk about. And I'd love to get some interaction. So if you want to jump in, and I see a couple of you already do, go ahead and press 1. And Lisa is getting to those calls right now. One of the first things that I want to talk about tonight is, and I just saw this today. I kind of knew this was going on, but I saw it back in the news again today. And that is that, you know, if you look at this current administration and a lot of its policies, it is very union friendly. And I talked a month or so ago about card check, the legislation that has been around for a couple years, actually. Card check, they've been trying to get through. And what card check does, basically, is it gets rid of your right to a secret ballot in order to vote in a union. Meaning if you work at a company and the union comes in and they want to unionize that location, they can do it without a secret ballot, meaning that everybody knows how you're voting. And that just goes against everything this country was founded on. Now, the good news is it's never passed. I was worried a couple months ago that this was the first administration and the first Congress in a long time that would pass this. I thought that once they rammed through health care, they would move right on and or actually do it while we were paying attention to health care. But I think they're so wrapped up in health care, which is something else we can talk about tonight as well, that card check kind of got put on the back burner. Doesn't mean I'm not thinking about it, I'm not watching it, I am. But this goes along with that. That was one union issue. We also, speaking of health care, have the union issue where this Congress and this president was willing to give the unions a huge gift by saying that there would be the tax on the Cadillac health plans unless it was a union-sponsored plan, which was unbelievable. And that still may go through. We don't know what the health care legislation is. They won't show it to us. But that was in there. That was on the table. Very union-friendly. Here's another one I'm a little worried about. And ultimately, this one could be good for me, and I'll explain to you in a little bit, but I am still absolutely against it. And it has to do with FedEx Corp. FedEx Corp, I'm going to read some from this article here. FedEx Corp would cease new investment in its express unit, the company's largest. And let me explain what that means. Federal Express is the parent company. FedEx Express is the overnight unit. Now, that is not independent contractors. Those are all employees at FedEx Express. And that's the largest single operating unit of FedEx Corporation. FedEx would cease new investment in its express unit should Congress pass legislation making it easier for the workers to organize, founder and CEO Fred Smith said Wednesday. The company would significantly reduce a $2 billion capital budget for the express transportation unit because local labor disputes could shut down the operation. We couldn't possibly afford to invest in the express business. We would simply not be able to continue to grow it. FedEx, the second largest U.S. package shipping company, is battling larger rival United Parcel Service and unions over legislation that would make it easier to organize FedEx workers on the ground. UPS workers organize under the National Labor Relations Act, which allows local voting. FedEx, which is also the world's largest cargo airline, operates under the Railway Labor Act, the national organizing standard for air carriers. FedEx has said it may cancel the purchase of 15 Boeing 777 freighter jets it has on order until they figure out what's going to happen with this legislation. Basically, what's going on with this is that FedEx was is an airline. I mean, that was the biggest core part of their business. They ship packages overnight on airplanes. Now, you have to get those packages to the airplanes, so they have trucks. Now, don't confuse this unit with FedEx Ground, which is the one I'm contracted to. We move all of our packages on the ground. FedEx moves theirs by plane, but they have to get the packages to the plane, so obviously they have to have some trucks. Because of that, they are organized under a different set of rules. And the biggest difference is that if the union wants to organize FedEx Express, they have to do it with a national vote, meaning they have to organize the entire company all at once. If they change this legislation and reorganize or reclassify FedEx Express ground carrier or as a trucking company, then the union can organize them one location at a time. And that's really what this is all about. Now, here's what could very likely happen, and this is why this could possibly be good for me, but I still don't want it to happen. I think it's wrong. FedEx is saying right here, we will not invest in this unit. Now, their pilots are already unionized somewhat. They have some pilots unionized. It's the rest of the company that they're fighting for, the rest of the FedEx Express unit. Rather than invest in that unit, I think they would start to expand the business model of FedEx Ground, which I am contracted to, because they're not really worried about FedEx Ground being unionized. We're independent contractors. Not to say that we can't, but the union's been trying for years and years and they have virtually zero success on the ground side. So that's the first article. I see that we've got a bunch of hands up. So I'm going to look around and see what it is everybody wants to talk about. We're going to get some of your calls. I've got a bunch of other stuff, and I may come back to that. But let's see. Let's start off tonight with Lance in Ohio. Lance, welcome to the program.
Hi. You know, the thing also at FedEx is that they got that thing going around called that brown bailout. I don't know if you've looked at that at all, where they're trying to UPS is trying to get some of FedEx classified trucking, so they have to, I think it's so they have to do the organization site by site instead of nationwide.
That is that, and UPS has been a big part of that. UPS and the union have been lobbying like crazy to get that changed, just for that exact reason, so that they don't have to organize them all at once nationwide. It would have to be a nationwide vote currently. That's the only way you can organize the FedEx Express guys is one nationwide vote. They've been pushing for this legislation so that they could do it shop by shop.
Yeah. Well, initially I called you because it's the pit tonight, and I got tired of hearing about Mexican trucks, okay? Now, it's a big deal, it is. It's in our industry. But I think all we hear is a one-side battle to it. You know, we all know they have crappy dray trucks that run around the border, okay? We all know that. We have crappy dray trucks here. We have look at our ports and our railhead, and they're crappy too, and those are American trucks, okay?
Yes.
But I think people are missing a bigger story. The rates in Mexico for theirs, from what I can tell, are not that bad, okay? Also, the Mexican drivers down there, they say their wages are between $500 to $800 a week for their drivers. They talk to their drivers, the Trucking News, they did a report. Even the Mexicans said they don't want to come here. They don't want to take a pay cut. I think,
well,
honestly, my opinion
yeah.
is we want our carriers want access to Mexico. Higher rates, cheaper fuel. And
do you know why? And you're right. The Mexican Trucking Association, and I forget the name of it, but it would be comparable to the ATA here. They don't want this program. They don't want us in Mexico because they don't have any trying to think of the law, and I'm drawing a complete blank. They don't have to. They're allowed to collude on pricing. Their companies can get together and price fix all they want. There's no law against it. And in the trucking industry down there, they do it, and they drive prices up. They're worried, and they should be worried, that American companies will come in, and they won't do that. We're not going to go play that game. We're not going to, you know, jump in with them as far as collusion on pricing. So we're going to drive rates down there. And they absolutely don't want that.
We're paying for this now. I heard another radio personality today say, oh, the reason we need to cut Mexico off is because they didn't abide by NAFTA. No, actually, it's us that did not abide by NAFTA. That's us. We didn't. We made an agreement, and we reneged. Okay? And also, we're paying the cost. We're already paying fines to Mexico because we're not abiding by our contract. And we're also paying out of our pockets every time we go buy food. Right now, there's a shortage of produce from California and Florida because of the big freeze. We would normally be getting a lot of that produce from Mexico, but they've tariffed it so damn high, we're not buying it. That's why you're not getting your tomatoes at Wendy's right now.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? I mean, you can't get a tomato at a fast food restaurant because tomatoes are so expensive and they don't need to be.
Well, and then it's also costing us as a country because Mexico's putting stuff on our product. I've read where they're charging extra for us to ship corn, beef, chicken, and potatoes. They put a tariff on it. We're not sending it. Canada's smiling. They're loving it. They're trucking the hell out of that stuff down there. They can sell them potatoes and corn and chicken and beef.
Yeah, well, you know, here's the thing that people don't get. The world is getting smaller. You know, I know people would love to say, we just shouldn't deal with the rest of the world. We need to bring our jobs back here. We need to stop exporting. I know people like that thought, but it doesn't work. We need to look at the fact that the rest of the world is also a huge marketplace for us, and we should be openly trading with other countries. There are better, much better ways to bring our manufacturing and our jobs back here. The fair tax is one quick one. And we could still manufacture here. We can trade with everybody in the world, and it gives us a huge, huge market. And that's what we need to do. We don't need to shut off our borders and try protectionism. It's not going to work.
Well, there's one other thing, before I take up all your time, there's one other thing with screwing with Mexico. A lot of people are missing. We get a hell of a lot of oil from Mexico, a lot of it.
It's either number one or number two, right?
Right, yes, it is. And, well, we only get 10% from overseas, they say. But that's why I think you're seeing our legislators so worried about what's going on with this trucking issue. That oil is vital to our economy.
I agree. Good stuff. And, it looks like we've got topics all over the board tonight that people want to talk about, which is great. That's what the show is all about. So I had some other news I was going to get to, but you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to move on and see what it is that everybody wants to talk about. If we get some time, I'll come back to what I had. But let's go to Minnesota this time. Brent, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, this is Brent. I agree with what I've been hearing so far. I called in with more of a comment than a question.
Okay.
I was listening to Fox News earlier tonight, and I guess some nights driving down the road, you ask, well, what can we do to help make sure that healthcare headaches don't go through? And Dick Morris got it all on his website with the names of the people we should be calling to say, hey, we don't want this nightmare. I guess I just kind of wanted to pass that along because if the guy can get parked and get access to the Internet and look up and see who you need to call, get a phone number, write it down, and give him a call and say, hey, we don't want this, and tell him the reasons why, you can have your voice be heard.
Absolutely. You know, here's the thing, and I want people to absolutely do that. We have to call. We have to make our voice heard. Here's what I'm afraid of when it comes to healthcare is that nobody is listening. I read a bunch of statistics today about all the polls. You know, say people don't want it. People don't think it will work. People don't like it. I mean, I read a dozen different polls, and over 50% of the people in every poll, no matter how you ask the question, they don't want this healthcare plan, and yet it looks like they're going to ram it through anyway.
Well, I think they said tonight 68% of American people who are polled are against. But, yeah, like you said, they're still trying to ram this thing through. And it don't make sense when you're paying taxes on something for 10 years, for 6 years worth of benefit. And that's what people are starting to understand. And that's, I believe, what's helping to unravel all this.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. And that's kind of my point, that if we go back, I could go back to the very first recording, the very first show where I came on the air and said, they are talking about passing sweeping health care legislation. I had read some of the parts of the bill, and I said, and I don't get a whole lot of predictions right, but I said back then that this has nothing to do with fixing health care. This is about taking over the economy, so the details aren't going to matter. Because it's not about the details. And yet, for the last year, we've done nothing but argue about the details. And when people see the details, they don't want it. And yet, they're going to cram this through on us anyway. This is about taking over the economy. That's what this is all about. I'm looking through the calls here. I've got several I want to get to. Let's go here. This looks like a good one. Let's go to New Mexico. Hugh, welcome to the program. Do you have a word for me?
I do have a word for you, Kevin. That word is fair tax now.
And you know, it seems like no matter what topic we bring up in politics right now, a lot of it comes back to two issues. One, healthcare, because everything has to revolve around this because they're about to take over our entire economy with it. And a lot of the problems we keep talking about could be fixed with the fair tax.
Absolutely. And you know, I was just listening to the radio and watching television. I just you know, had an extended break. And I noticed you cannot listen to the news or a political opinion program or anything for more than a minute and a half without somebody saying something about using the tax code to manipulate me.
Yes.
Man, I want to eliminate that. That's just insane. I mean, no wonder it's so complicated. They want to manipulate every aspect of our life, and they use the tax code to do it. I just like to take that tool away from them. It just seems un-American to me.
It is. Let's get rid of that, I don't even know what to call it, that monstrosity that has nothing to do with funding the federal government anymore, that is all about controlling.
It's just like the healthcare issue. It's all about control. And you know what? They work for us, not the other way around. And no matter how smart they think they are, and I'm convinced probably there are some really smart guys in Washington, but and ladies, but I don't think anybody up there is as smart as the American, man, I almost hate to use this word, collective body of the brain trust that is America.
Right. Well,
the free enterprise, capitalism, just freedom, individual freedom and responsibility achieves more than all their genius in the world could ever achieve.
And since you mentioned that some of them might have some shred of intelligence, that would be a good time for the bonehead comment of the day, don't you think?
Which was?
And I want you to see who can guess which brain-dead politician this came from. I'm going to give everybody a clue.
There's so many of them.
I know. But I'm going to give everybody a clue, and we'll see if you can get which brain-dead politician said this. She said it yesterday. She's talking about she's talking about
that narrows it down.
Passing health care reform, and she says,
I know what you're talking about.
But we have to pass the bill so you can find out what's in it away from the fog of controversy.
That one's too easy. Should I answer it?
Yes, you should.
The Madam Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, how can she say that with a straight face? Oh, I know how she can do it. She's had so much plastic surgery, she's always got a straight face. But we have to pass the bill so you can find out what's in it. I heard it over and over and over again, and it was the same way every time I heard it, and I could not believe it. You know, I was thinking about something today about health care. You know, you've seen how the electorate, or at least one large portion of the electorate, has responded to President Obama being elected and some of his programs. And I got to thinking about the mentality of a large portion of the country. You know, I don't know what tag to put on them, but what do you think would happen? Now, you know, if they pass this health care debacle, the taxes and funding will start immediately, but it's going to be 3, 4, 5 years before any benefits actually are realized by anybody. But knowing what you've seen already, what do you think would happen if they did manage to push this through both houses of Congress, get the amendments in there, president signs it? What do you think would happen the very next day? Uh-oh. Was that one too tough?
Yeah, that is. Well,
the medical clinics and hospitals all over this country would be inundated with folks showing up for their free health care.
Well, that's a very good point. Even though there's no such thing, there never will be
any. Exactly. Yes.
Right. Right.
But that's what a huge portion of this, of our society believes that this is going to do, and they're just going to just like they all showed up in Detroit for their free money, and after the election they were rejoicing because Obama was going to pay their house payments and their car payments for them.
That's right. So you're right.
It only naturally follows that they will all show up at the hospitals and medical clinics and doctors' offices all over the country. I'm here for my free health care. Well, it ain't here.
They'll be showing up asking for breast augmentation.
And it will be a disaster. Can you just imagine it? I hate to think about it.
Well,
go ahead.
We're certainly worried about this. There's no question, because we understand what it's going to do to our economy and our freedom. That's our biggest concern. But what must it be like to be in the healthcare field right now? Wondering what's going to happen if this goes through.
I'm glad I'm a truck driver.
Exactly.
Earlier today, you responded to a thread on the website, letstruck.com. I think the title of it was Being Poor in America or something like that. And you chimed in that you wanted to talk about that tonight, and that's been a big pet peeve of mine for a long time. There's been a couple of times in my life when I have been flat broke, and I mean just could not see which way was up. But even then, I was rich by the world standards. I mean, when you consider what the poor in this country have, color television sets, cable or satellite TV, at least one car, if not two, a house with an air conditioner in it. You know that in the 1970s, only about 30% of households even had air conditioning. Now the poor have air conditioning, and they call themselves poor.
I was hoping that we don't talk enough about. We don't talk enough about this because, you know, even now, and I'll tell you what, this administration, in my opinion, is really, really good. Forget the race card. There's nothing to the race card. We play the wealth envy card and
absolutely.
The poor card.
The class warfare card.
This is definitely class warfare. And we talk about the rich, and we talk about the poor, and we talk about the middle class, but we don't have a lot of poor people in this country. And even the poor people, the way they're classified, is ridiculous sometimes. And even the people who are truly poor, based on our standards, when you compare them to the rest of the country, our country, you could say, yes, they are poor. But when you compare them to the rest of the world, we don't have any poor. I mean, other than the truly, you know, and yes, there are some single mothers out there who have, you know, lost a job and they're living in a shelter and they are poor. But you know what? Most of those even recover. They even move on from that status of being that poor, because there are so many opportunities to bring yourself out of that in this country.
Absolutely.
Whereas the poor people in the rest of the world spend their entire life. They are stuck. They have no opportunity. And you know, we have those opportunities because of our free market system that allows anybody to succeed with enough hard work.
And you know, one thing that I noticed that keeps recurring in the healthcare debate is it's often noted that even as bad as things are, most everybody gets treatment in this country.
Yes, they do. They get very good treatment, too.
And I know I'm all over the board here, but man, it's just so much.
Well, you know, the whole – the podcast thing is less than 2 months old, and we're still kind of feeling out what's going to work, what isn't going to work. You know, I watched the statistics after every show. How many listeners did we have? How many callers, you know, wanted to jump in? How many questions? How many downloads have we had? And I still haven't figured out what to do with this show. It seems like if I only bring out one topic and talk about one topic, that we don't get a lot of participation. So I think we're good tonight. We're going to try. And I've got, you know, a couple more calls I still want to get to. And I had a bunch of articles I still want to talk about, which is good. But so I do want to be all over the board. There is a lot to talk about. Let's talk about it all. That's what the show's for.
Yeah, well, I'm going to end it the way I started it, with one word. Fair tax now would solve so many problems. I'm convinced that the national and personal prosperity would be unprecedented in this country. And you know, the rest of the world would say, hey, we got to do that too.
Hey, speaking of which, I am going, because I committed to you that this year for me is about keeping the fair tax in front of everybody, talking about it more. We made you the ambassador because if you know, my ADD will kick in and I'll forget about it. I'm going to give you another challenge since you are the ambassador.
Oh, gosh.
See what happens when you get involved? Every Thursday night. I know you won't always be able to call in on Thursday night, but every Thursday night that you're able to call in, no matter what the topic is, even if I come out and say, okay, tonight is all about hours of service, no matter what the topic is, I want to devote at least 5 to 10 minutes of every show to the fair tax, and I want you to have either 1 point, one benefit, one. I want you to bring the one thing that we're going to talk about as far as the fair tax goes every week.
Well, that's a challenge that I think I'll just be glad to take there, because it's something that needs to be constantly talked about once a week, certainly not more than can be expected or more than is needed by any means.
Good.
But I'll tell you, I put together a few points recently that, you know, what could you possibly have against these things that the fair tax would do for us? And I'm kind of, here you go. Government can be funded at the present or even greater level. No IRS audits. We don't fear the IRS anymore. You know, that is un-American for us to be afraid of the IRS. Millions of outsourced jobs coming back home. No telling how many millions of jobs that have gone overseas will be coming back home because the fair tax system would be so friendly to business and industry and commerce and manufacturing that all these guys that have left because they just couldn't make it here with the tax structure the way it is will be coming back. You know, all those special interests in Washington, the main thing they're up there for is trying to get tax advantage. They have no need for those guys anymore. They'll have to go find another way of making a living.
Yes.
All this business about, are you an employee or a contract driver? There's no need for that discussion anymore because that's all about income taxes. If you don't have any income taxes, nothing. You don't need
it
anymore.
It's gone. Think about how easy it will be to start a business.
Yeah, you don't have to ask the permission of the government. You don't have to hire a CPA and a tax lawyer to tell you if after you satisfy all of the IRS requirements, if you'll be able to make a profit.
No, just come up with an idea and go make money.
And go with it.
That's
yeah.
It. Get all that other garbage. So,
but,
you know, here's
on top
what
of
we
all
need.
That. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yo. Here's what we need. All right. On top of
we'll never up. You'll never get to those other calls if we keep doing this.
Go.
Okay. You're going to get your whole paycheck every week or every 2 weeks or every month. Get your whole paycheck without all that federal deductions taken out of it. and the government's going to send you a check every so often. I just, you know, tell me what you can possibly object to on this thing.
The only thing I can object to is we haven't passed it yet.
Absolutely.
That's the only thing I can object to. All right, in closing. That's for that was your cue.
That was my cue.
That was your cue.
In closing, we need to start applying more good old American common sense and quit being influenced by these people who all they want is to control every aspect of our lives. You know, I hear a lot of people saying, we got to take our country back. You know, I hear people saying that from every different direction, especially, you know, leftists saying, we got to take our country back. Well, who are you taking it back from, and who are you taking it back to, or where are you taking it back to? I'm saying let's the people take the country back from the bureaucrats and the politicians. They work for us. We don't work for them, and we need to get back to that because they are going to run this country in the ground. Fair tax now.
There you go. Good stuff. Thanks, Mr. Ambassador, and we will talk to you again next week. So I hope you're up for the challenge. Let's go to – oh, boy, let me figure out who's – okay, let's start up at the top this time. Let's go to Florida. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
Good. What's on your mind tonight?
All right. I'm going to piss a lot of people off, but education instead of fair tax. How about that?
Education.
It's a whole lot easier to educate than to get something passed through Congress, to get something passed through the president. A whole lot easier. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree how powerful education can be. I think that's where you're going. As far as how easy it is to educate people, I don't think it's very easy at all.
Okay, I'm not talking about education in schools. I'm talking about educating people like you and me.
I'm not either talking about education. That's a whole nother topic. And I'm going to do a rant some night about how we need to get the government out of our school system. As far as education goes, I know where you're going. We need to educate the voters, and we need to get them educated and involved. But I don't think that's easy, not unless we can start getting, 15 minutes on American Idol, because that's what everybody's watching instead of, paying attention to what's going on in the country.
Right. Who do you think runs this country? Who do you think runs this world?
Tell me.
Banks. Big banks. Who generates the money? Banks. Who produces the money? Banks. Who pays the president? The banks do. Who pays you? The banks do. All the money is generated from the banks. Not the government. The government don't run anything. They're like puppets.
So what do you propose to change that?
The Federal Reserve is not a government health facility. It's privately held facility.
Correct.
Okay.
What? And I know where you're going, but what do you propose to change it?
Completely, eliminate government in all sense of the word. Because they think they're in control. Everybody thinks they're in control, but they're not. Everybody thinks they have to listen to the government. By law, you don't even have to pay taxes right now. By law. But they'll put you in jail if you don't. But by law, you don't even have to pay taxes.
Well, yeah, you do. I mean,
no,
we do have a 16th Amendment. With the 16th Amendment.
That's why I'm talking about education. If people don't know, by law, you do not have to pay taxes. But people don't know.
Who makes the laws?
The banks in 1907.
Hold on. Who makes the laws?
The government.
You keep using the phrase by law. Well, who makes the laws? Congress does. Congress,
right.
That's who passes laws. The laws,
right.
You do have to pay taxes. It's not a voluntary system. You do have to pay tax. If you don't pay tax, you will go to jail. That because it's the law.
No, you won't go to jail because it's the law. You go to jail because they don't want to hear. I mean, there's hundreds and thousands of people that don't pay taxes to this day.
Well, correct. I mean, we have a series of enforcement steps, but one of those steps, by law today, they can put you in jail. I mean, they have that option, and it's legal. They will put you in jail eventually if you don't pay your tax.
They'll come up with other reasons other than the fact that you didn't pay your tax. No, they won't.
They can put you in jail for tax evasion. I know where you're getting at, and I know there have been people for the last 50 years running around telling people it's not against law, but it is. And until we the people who have tried to beat that are the ones who are in jail for it. They will put you in jail. So rather than argue that it's not against the law because it is, let's change the law. Let's change the tax rules. Let's enact a fair tax. And then income tax goes away, and tax evasion for the average person goes away because there's no more issue of it being an income tax. It becomes a consumption tax. And if you don't want to pay the consumption tax, don't buy something. So I know there's this group out there that tries to read through the laws and the Constitution and say that that taxes aren't legal. They are. We passed the 16th Amendment.
Okay, before 1907, how did this country run itself? Because that's when the banks said, okay, you're going to pay taxes. The banks came up with the idea. Their lobbyists through the banks came up with the idea, and that's how it got passed. Now, what did this country survive on before taxes was invented?
Now, we've always had taxes. What you're confusing, you're confusing the income tax.
In 1907, the banks lobbied Congress, and they passed the law to have income tax, to have...
Correct. But we've always had taxes.
Okay. Not always, actually. I mean, not always.
Yeah,
that was the barter system before that. But, you know, before 1907, how did the country run itself?
With taxes. I mean, all we're really arguing, every country needs a government. Every government needs money. There's no question about that. I'm not completely against government, and I'm not completely against tax. Not in any way. That's insane to think that we could run this country without a government, without tax.
We can run the country without government. I mean, it's been done.
How?
Before government was there, it was done.
Government's always there. I mean,
has not always been there, Kevin. Now, come on. Before George Washington, who was there? There was nobody.
When you say there were no taxes, what was the original Boston Tea Party about? Long before an income tax, what was that about?
That was after George Washington. Before George Washington, this country ran itself just fine, did it not?
How many? Come on now. Be reasonable.
I'm talking about education, Kevin. I mean, it can be done. It can be.
No, it can't. Not with a country our size. Are you saying no federal government? Are you saying we go back to being individual states? Do we need state governments?
I don't think we need any kind of government.
Where will the roads come from?
Do we have roads back then, Kevin? I mean,
What about a military?
Did we have military back then? We didn't have anything.
Yes, we did. You keep mentioning George Washington. He was a general. Of course we had a military. We can't survive in the world today without a military. We can't survive in the world today without a government.
Yeah, you can, Kevin.
No, I completely disagree. I want you to call back next week. Let's talk about it some more what did I just do? Hold on.
I get 5 minutes and the other guy before me gets 20.
He didn't get 20. I'll tell you what he got. He got 8.5. He got 6. You've got 6.5. Go ahead and make one more point in closing, and I want you to call back next week. We'll talk about it again.
In closing, zeitgeist.com, and that will answer all questions.
Say that one more time. I didn't catch it.
In closing, zeitgeist.com, and it will answer all questions.
I'll go check it out. We will talk about that next week. Call me back. I'd love to give everybody 20 minutes, but I can't. I mean, we've only got so much time. Let's go to Ray in South Dakota. Ray, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Kevin, always a pleasure and an honor to talk to you, sir.
Great to have you here. What's on your mind?
Well, you mentioned hours of service when you were opening the show. Everyone has their own opinion on what hours of service should be. I certainly know I do, even though I haven't been in the industry very long. I was wondering, an experienced professional as yourself, what you would like them to be.
In a perfect world, you know what I'd love them to be? And
gone?
You know, when
gone?
Really? I struggle with this because I do believe that there is a role for government. And one of the things that government should do, government should protect us from each other. I mean, in the general sense, government should protect us from other countries. That's why we have a military. They should protect us from each other. That's why we do need a police force of some sort, whether that's state, local, whatever. We could argue that. But we do need laws. We do need a police force. And we do need some safety regulations, again, to protect us from each other, not from ourselves. One of the things that I was going to get to tonight, I'm not even going to go there because we have so much to talk about. But we don't need to protect it. The government doesn't need to protect me from me. I should be allowed to do anything I want to do as long as I'm not hurting somebody else. Now, if I'm driving down the road asleep, I have a high likelihood that I'm going to hurt somebody else. And that's where we need to have some laws and regulations. I think that it should be common sense. We should be able to drive when we feel like we can drive, sleep when we feel like we should sleep. Unfortunately, that doesn't work. So this, I think, is one of the toughest issues that we face in this industry is what should hours of service be? And this was an idea that was brought to my attention by somebody else, and I don't have enough time to explain how it would all work, but one of the ways is to just split the day into two shifts, 12 hours each. You either drive at night or you drive in the daytime, and you got 12 hours or whatever. I mean, we would play around with the hours. I think what I'd really like to see, and they say that they do it all the time, but I never see any real results, is some real good industry debate and creative ways to fix hours of service. Here's one of the problems we always run up against. They always want to write the hours of service as a blanket regulation that covers everybody, and then they throw in a couple exceptions here and there. I think we need to divide the industry into different segments, and we need separate hours of service rules in different segments.
Right, because the OTR driver is not going to be not going to face the same challenges as someone who's regional or even local.
Absolutely, and that's one of the first problems that we run into. It's every time you come up with a good idea about hours of service, then you say, you know what, but that's not going to work here, so we can't do it that way. Well, why don't we do it that way and then come up with an exception or a new set of rules for this group? When we try to write one blanket hours of service rules, that's what's not going to work.
And I think that a lot of drivers are hoping that with Ann Farrow's background that we'll actually finally get somewhere this time.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, the last change, And again, this is a great example. The last time we changed hours of service was the first time in, like, I don't know, 60 years. It had been a long time since we had made any changes. Some of the changes made sense, and some of the changes were just stupid. Again, it comes back to that, you know, we tried to cover everybody with this one blank rule, and it just doesn't work. We, you know, it would be nice to do an entire hour on hours of service and have people call in with who have thought it through ahead of time and who have some ideas, and I think you did. But I'm looking at the clock, and now we've had so much participation tonight, we're running out of time. I've got to get to a couple more calls. Let's go real quick to Matt. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Kevin.
Good evening. What's up?
I'm going to skip my topic because you got some stuff you got to cover. I got another challenge for Hugh.
Okay.
He made a statement right at the beginning about how, you know, the government thinks they're, I don't remember exactly how he said it, but are so much smarter than us, and, you know, they think they can control our lives better than we can, or they can pass laws to improve our lives. I think he needs to read Atlas Shrugged.
He hasn't read it yet?
I know he hasn't as of like a month or two ago, but...
Yeah, you're right. He needs to do that.
Yeah.
He needs to do that.
As far as that caller just a few back, but did you get that website? I didn't quite hear it.
I would check it out.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to...
The guy starts with education, and, I mean, you and I both agree on that, and I guess I just challenge him to do a little more research on the fair tax, just so, I mean... Some of the things he was claiming, I know, are not completely accurate.
No, they weren't. I tried to point those out.
It's a good conversation, and I mean, I'm not going to disagree with him completely, but there's some things I'd like to do some research on and have actual proof of before I comment it on. But
it's a good use of this show. When people bring ideas and comments and things like that, that's what I want to use this show for open debate. I think, you know, after trying to do this political show, which is kind of new, I like the debate. I learn from the debate. If I just come on and I say, here's my topic tonight, here's my points, and you know, I just put them out there, and nobody questions them, then I don't know that we really learn things. So when somebody like that brings something and says, this is, you know, why we have an income tax. Well, no, it's not. Let's talk about that. So, you know, that's what I was hoping to keep one topic, because an hour really isn't a lot of time. We're almost out of time now. But being all over the board got us more participation. So...
Yeah.
We'll figure this out. I'm just starting to learn it. And just so you know, Hugh, you are live now. You're with us.
I am?
Hugh. You are, because Matt,
good evening,
Matt
Hugh.
Challenged.
Hey, Matt, how's it going, man? How's that signature?
Pretty good. You know, I'm 70 miles from Fargo, North Dakota, rolling through Minnesota. It's 38 degrees and raining. And there's no snow left.
So,
you know,
Hugh,
Matt,
are you
right? I have not read Atlas Shrugged yet, and I you know, I've kidded Kevin about loaning me his copy when he was done through it the third or fourth time, but I really need to get my own copy. I'm sure there's a lot I could learn from that.
Not only is there a lot to learn, but you will be burning up the phone lines with things you want to copy.
No doubt.
You've got it. You really... I'm amazed again, because Lisa and I are listening to it again right now. And I am just amazed every day when I see... This book was written in, what, 1957?
Yeah, it could have been started all the way back in the 40s.
Very prophetic.
Could have been written yesterday.
There's a. I'm going to get one comment in, I guess, that, and I don't know if you want to move along, but towards the end of the book, and there's some major problems in the whole country and all that, and things are falling apart, and they got to move backwards and start doing more things manually. There's a comment that to go back and do things the old way from even just, you know, say 20 years ago,
right,
the population is not smart enough to move backwards.
That's a good point.
It's amazing. I mean, how many things are so realistic in this, in that book, that it just, it's hard to believe.
That is a very good point. And I am going to, I'm looking at the clock. I've got 4 minutes. I'm going to jump to another quick call, get to as many as I can. Thank you, too. I'll talk to you again next week. Kenny in Indiana, you're on.
How you doing, Kevin? We're going to do it real fast here. How you been?
Good, good. What's on your mind tonight?
I want to talk about the extinction of redheads by 2015.
Yeah, okay. Let's get rid of all of them.
You know that's right. No, I think what we should do, like, I agree. I agree that you should be able to drive when you drive, when you want to drive, and sleep when you want to sleep. Yeah, you know, I believe, you know. If they're able to take a little strip when you take a piss test and see exactly what you have in your system, if they could take that, maybe get a sample and put a little strip in there and see, oh, this man's got 8 hours left in him. He's good. All right.
Yeah.
He can drive down the road.
Well, the one thing that they'll never be able to do, they will, and this is why we struggle so much, they will never be able to write a set of rules that work the way our bodies work, because we all work differently. I can remember when I was driving, and you know this, everybody that drives knows this. There were days where if I got up after a good night's sleep, and that might only be 5 or 6 hours for me sometimes, if I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I started driving, and there were times where midnight the next night, I am still safe and fresh, and I know it.
Yeah.
But there are other times where after 8 hours of great sleep, I start heading down the road, and 2 hours later, I can't keep my eyes open anymore.
Yeah,
and that's
it fluctuates so much. There can't
exactly.
There can't be a consistency on a log. There just cannot be. Yeah,
no, our bodies
force you. I think it's more unsafe for them to force us to drive 11 hours. You know?
Yeah, I agree. This is a tough one, and you know what? I prepared so many things tonight because the last couple weeks we haven't had great participation. I only read one of my topics, I think, and we've had really good participation. In fact, Scott in Iowa, I don't have a whole lot of time, but I wanted to make sure I got to you. What was on your mind?
I was just wondering how you feel about this national ID card. I've been hearing a little bit about it on the news the last couple of days, and I was wondering, have you done any research on that at all?
I haven't done any research as far as what might be going on specifically this time, but just in general, I'm absolutely against it. There's no reason for us to need a national ID card. We have state IDs, we have driver's license, we have plenty of ways to identify who I am. We don't need a national ID card.
I feel the same way. I feel like what they're saying is the reason they want to do it is totally bogus. And I was just curious. I wanted to put it out there. Maybe next week, guys will comment on it. I was just curious what people were thinking about it, because I am totally against it, too. I think it's just another control thing, more bureaucracy, more government. It just takes us in the wrong direction.
Okay, so here's your challenge for this week, then. I want you to go do some research on what it is they are proposing this time, and we will talk about it some next week.
Okay, I'll try to call in next. So you'll do this again next Thursday.
Every Thursday night is the Pit, Politics and Trucking. So, and this is kind of the way we're going to do it. We're going to throw it out to a bunch of topics. we'll see what everybody wants to talk about. Boy, I'll tell you, the hour just absolutely flew by tonight. 30 minutes from now, we'll be on the live show. Call in then, 8888 Road Dog. Whatever you want to talk about then will be good as well. Thanks for joining me tonight on the. Remember, be safe, be profitable, and master the journey. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Rutherford.